from Redeemer Broadcasting. This is Holding All Things Together for this fourth weekend in November. I'm Dan Elmendorf.
And I'm Calvin Carter. Today we talk with a group that brings the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to transform the lives of those affected by sexual sin. Harvest USA offers one-on-one discipleship and biblical support groups for men, women, and families. They also have free online courses that address your individual struggle. Everything from sexual addiction to spousal unfaithfulness to gender dysphoria and porn addiction, same-sex attraction and transgenderism. They offer Zoom meetings and people to talk with in full confidentiality. Today we learn about this gracious ministry. Our guest today is Jim Barr, Director of Ministry Partnerships and Stewardship at Harvest USA.
And as the news spread about what they did, they actually were started getting calls from people in the church who were struggling sexually themselves. Homosexuality or same-sex attraction in a hidden way. Promiscuity would have been an issue. Porn was growing. And of course, children were jumping from the church into the homosexual community as well. And parents were really struggling with that. And that has been the foundation of our work.
Also ahead, Pastor Bill Shisko reviews what is forbidden in the seventh commandment, which is, you shall not commit adultery. Next Thursday is Thanksgiving, and writer Jerry Wiss reviews thankfulness. And though it certainly can be commemorated on a special day, it is much more. It's a way of life that arises from understanding that we have received a gift beyond any other. Finally, we'll take another look at this week in history. All this just ahead on Holding All Things Together.
As we go through the moral law, the Ten Commandments, we come to the seventh commandment, which is, you shall not commit adultery. What's forbidden in the seventh commandment? Well, according to the shorter catechism that we're using, the seventh commandment forbids all unchaste thoughts, words, and actions. And to support that, there are loads of biblical texts. What a morally devastated landscape we are looking at. We are looking at a bombed out territory, websites for pornography that are among the biggest business on the internet. Websites where you can hook up with someone for a one-night stand or a one-day stand. And increasingly today, websites in which especially women promote their own bodies as sex objects to others. And even today, with so-called artificial intelligence, there's an increasing moral challenge of people having affairs with chatbots. Not just artificial intelligence, folks. We're dealing with artificial intimacy that's a violation of the seventh commandment. So I speak now to young men and women and older men and older women. This is a battle. It is a battle not to commit adultery. It is a battle for chastity, for purity, for sexual spotlessness. And I beg you, if you're listening to this and you are addicted in one way or another to our sexually driven culture and its pornography in various forms, or if you are trapped in the web of actual adultery, you cannot get out on your own. I repeat, you cannot get out on your own. You are in moral quicksand if you are in any stage of committing adultery. Talk with your pastor confidentially. Please do that soon and get his advice. And there are organizations, there's even computer programs that can help. But this is a call to war. What is required in the commandment not to commit adultery? It requires the preservation of our own and our neighbor's chastity in heart, speech, and behavior.
On the Zoom line with us today is Jim Barr, and he's from Harvest USA. Jim, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Glad to be here. Thank you much so much for the invitation.
I was reminded of you guys by a friend of mine, Jerry Wiss, who helps us produce Holding All Things Together, and he'll be on later in the program. But Jim, tell us a little bit about Harvest USA, if you would, please.
Well, in a nutshell, it was started 43 years ago in Philadelphia by a church, 10th Presbyterian, which is down there, historic evangelical church. They were in the midst of the gayborhood, as it was called at the time, and they, rather than trying to get rid of people who weren't like them in their neighborhood, they said, how can we reach out with the gospel?
So yes.
They, in time, hired a Westminster student, John Freeman, who with him, they founded Harvest USA to reach out to the homosexual community. And in the process, they reached out to churches because they wanted the support of other churches in the region. And as the news spread about what they did, they actually were started getting calls from people in the church who were struggling sexually themselves, homosexuality or same-sex attraction in a hidden way. Promiscuity would have been an issue. Porn was growing. And of course, children were jumping from the church into the homosexual community as well. And parents were really struggling with that. And that has been the foundation of our work. We work with men who are struggling in any kind of sexual brokenness, women who are also, and that is one of the most, the quickest growing area. Women are being caught into pornography in a way that hasn't happened before, most of it being social media and having a phone in our pocket that can easily get us anywhere we want to go. And then we also work with women who are struggling because of their husband's brokenness. They feel betrayed. They feel abused in many ways. So we have a ministry just reaching out to them and helping them work through that. And the fourth one is those parents whose child have identified LGBTQ. And they also feel like, what did I do wrong? Why did this happen to me? They were in youth group. They went on mission trips and they come home from college and they've suddenly been swamped by this idea of that they can be anything they want to be. So it's a whole revolution and a challenge. And that's in a nutshell what we do.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a very important ministry and one that I think is going to be more and more popular as time goes on here for a while. I would imagine that you value very highly and practice confidentiality. But I also want to ask, are there any accounts that you're free to share that comes to mind of how you ministered to people?
Well, I can, with full, in a sense, unconfidentiality, speak from my own experience. I was a homeschooling dad. My kids are now all married. But we had seven children, homeschooled. I was a ruling elder in my Presbyterian church. I worked for a ministry and have done most of my life, and I was captured by pornography. I hid it. Sometimes my wife would kind of get the idea that I was involved in it. I would promise never to do it again. I would then fall back into it. I would hide even more. It was a brokenness in our marriage that lasted for decades, really. Mm. It caused a lot of pain and brokenness in my wife as well, as you can imagine. But she didn't want to speak up. If for wives, it's very difficult to suddenly expose your husband. You're going to lose friends. They're lost as well. So they just kind of hold it in. And even if she did share it with somebody, she'll tell you that they often didn't know how to respond. It was too ugly or scary or whatever. And they would just kind of pass it off as, oh, I hope you feel better about that. I'll pray about it. Then I, in God's providence, and it's an amazing providence we don't have time to go into, my wife first came to Harvest because of their work with wives, and then she encouraged me to come. We had moved to Philadelphia after many years living in another state, but we came here, I came, and within the next year, what I thought was a interminable problem that I would just carry to my grave, I was freed from it. Because what they do is not get you to try to change your activity, as it were, your behavior, so much as they say it's a heart issue. Are you looking to Christ for your hope, for your love, for his kindness, his mercy? Or are you going to what we would call an idol, something that is a coping mechanism that helps you get through those tensions and hard times and difficulties in life? So that's what I was doing. I was just being triggered to go to an easy out rather than going to Christ. And once I started learning with some other men and the transparency that happens in a small group, wow, my life just, it took a while, but it changed that my wife saw that. And we are now in a better place than we've ever been. But I can tell you that the people that are reaching out are, it's an amazing thing. Right now, there's a woman who comes on her internet to be in one of our women's small groups that's in Africa. She's from another country.
Well,
but she's found us through the internet, and she comes on from 1 a.m. till 3 a.m. to be part of a small group because she says, we need this here. We need this ministry, and I want to learn as much as I can.
That answered my question, actually, that I had, and that is, what if a person is not in the Philadelphia area? Can they participate with Harvest USA?
Oh, yes, that's how we really started it. And up until really COVID, we operated as a regional ministry. And so people did come from Delaware, New Jersey, over to Harrisburg, you know, so that's like a 2-hour drive. People were coming weekly to be helped. COVID opened us up to the purposes of using, you know, Zoom and what that happens. How that happens. And so now we do accept people from just about anywhere, as long as they're willing to come on at a certain time. We don't have, in a sense, taped things at this point. We're building out more and more of that sort of material for people. But yes, we have our small group, men's group, probably between, oh, I'd say 10 and 15 men gather, and they go through a whole 1-year program that helps them dig into and find those things that why are they triggered to go to something else rather than Christ, and it helped them see how they can change that. We have women's groups, we have wives groups, and we have parents groups, all online. And the parents ones is only online because parents come from all over the place who are struggling. They just can't find anything like what we have. So yes, online, we call it discipleship, life on life discipleship groups. And they are available all the time. So call into our, you know, go to our website and you can walk through a very, what we call HIPAA secure. That's the legal term for being secure, like doctors have.
Yes.
All your information is very securely kept. And then they interview, make sure you're right for the group. Unfortunately, sometimes there are people who come to us whose difficulties and whose challenges go beyond and are very extensive. And we say, you know, you really need personal Christian counseling. So not everyone is going to be helped by us, but as much as we can, we help people. Yes.
And this is a wonderful ministry. And today we're talking with Jim Barr of Harvest USA. Jim, if someone is listening right now and they say, you know what, I think this is a match for me, what's the first step that they should take in order to connect?
Yeah, two things. They can go online and get some of the same information that I've just talked about. And if they click on need help, you know, it'll go right to men, women, wives, parents, and then you can pick where your situation is. Or they can call. We have a number, you know, our phone number here in Philadelphia, and that'd be 215-482-0111. 215-482-0111. They can find that on our website, of course, as easily. Or they can send an email and we'll follow up with them, that type of thing. But yeah, very simple to get to us and then walk through what our help is. We also have, and I don't want to just, let's say you're a little nervous about those first steps. We have over 400 articles on our website that talk about all these issues, and you can search on it. You can find lots of help right through that. We have books. We have video series that people can go to. One's called Transforming Love. That's for women and their sexual struggles and how to find help in Christ. We also have Hope in Your Heartbreak. That's a video series for wives and navigating sexual betrayal. And we have some free video courses for parenting. All these are free, I should say, for parenting, to help parents establish a biblical worldview with their kids. One's called Sexually Raising Kids. and one's called Parenting Boys and Girls in a Gender-Confused World. Those are also free. You watch those first, you'll get a sense for how or what maybe the issues are and maybe feel a little more confident about it coming forward.
Yes. I feel very comfortable with this group, especially with the recommendation coming from our friend Jerry Wiss. What is the web address that people would go to, Jim?
Very simple. Yeah, very simple. www.harvestusa.org. Harvestusa.org.
And do you ever get, how do I ask this? Do you ever get pastors that come in that are looking for help?
Absolutely. In two ways. One, our founder, who is still helping with it, John Freeman, is a wonderful man. 43 years been in this work. Mm. He's connected all over with people. And he works with pastors two ways. They may call in and say, you know, I had a husband and wife come to me. There seems to be maybe a little bit more complicated. How would you handle this, John? John's happy
yes.
to walk them through. That might help. But we also have, sadly, but it's true, pastors who are struggling in one way or another with some sort of issue. And we do have material to help them. And if they're in our region, we have a couple groups that do meet on an ongoing basis just with pastors who can help hold confidentiality with one another and
yes.
encourage one another to faithfulness in their walk with Christ in these areas.
It's wonderful.
And we have some wonderful testimonies of men who have been greatly helped. So that one I would go to John, in a sense, if you call in or email, it would be directed to John. He is
very
good.
Really helpful. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Jim Barr of Harvest USA. For those with, I want to call it addictions or whatever, mm-hmm. there's hope. There's hope. Don't give up. You're not alone. And people are out there that can come by your side, as it were, and help you. Any last word, Jim?
If they would go to our website, one of the nice, I think it's very, very helpful, is sign up for our email. Our emails every week are a new article about some area of sexuality, biblical sexuality, and, of course, the brokenness that comes there and God's answer for it. And then you also, twice a year, not a lot, but we have a magazine that comes out, and we then focus on an issue very much. And those magazines are also PDFs that you can look at. So a sense of articles, videos, podcasts. We have all those things on our website that people can go to.
It's a beautiful thing. Jim Barr, my brother in the Lord, may the Lord bless you and keep you and give you the strength to keep going. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
It's part of our heritage to regularly pause and give thanks to God for His blessings upon us, our families, and our nation. But thankfulness, though it certainly can be commemorated on a special day, is much more. It's a way of life that arises from understanding that we have received a gift. For Christians, a gift beyond any other. Today, Jerry Wiss joins us to remember some Thanksgiving history, and to invite our consideration to the gospel basis for our gratitude. Jerry is a frequent contributor to Holding All Things Together and a writer for Christian Renewal magazine.
Our nation was the first to institute Thanksgiving as a national holiday. This reflected our religious temper. When we began to settle this vast land, we came across hardships, dangers, illness, and when we survived them, we paused to give thanks to our Father in heaven. We also paused to thank Him after harvest time. When we were mostly an agrarian society, we realized that our livelihoods were completely dependent on the elements, the weather, preservation against insects that could destroy a crop, and so when the harvest gave its yield, again, we paused to give thanks to our Heavenly Father, knowing that He prospered us, preserved us, and enabled our arm to work in a way to gain wealth. A small band of families arrived in coastal Massachusetts some 400 years ago. They were persecuted in their own country, so they came here on an errand into the wilderness. Many didn't survive the voyage. Others soon died after setting foot on dry land in this uncharted country. But enough survived to build shelters and, with the providential help of the Indians, to scratch out a farm, to hunt, and to garner nourishment from the sea so they could survive. And that first harvest, where there was plenty, is when they pause to give thanks to their Father in heaven. The Christian's life is to be one that is pervasive with gratitude. There is nothing that we have not received, so there can be no boasting or primping or posturing. There is no place for pride in the Christian life, since we know who we really are. We are sinners, deserving only of God's wrath because of our sin. Yet God in Christ delivered us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His beloved Son. How is it possible that a Christian should not give thanks? There's nothing wrong with setting aside a day to give thanks, but we know that this is not the only day in which we express our thanks to God. Our lives are to be an expression of thanks to Him because of the great gift of His Son's sacrifice for our sins, because of the new life He has given to us in Christ, because of His Holy Spirit who cheers and comforts us and testifies with us that we are the children of God, because of the eternal dwelling place that awaits us, where there will be no more weeping, no more pain, where there will be no more death. We give thanks in the day-to-day course of our lives, realizing that all that is good, all that works toward our prosperity and health, all that brings cheer and rejoicing is because of Him in this life. Indeed, we can testify with James that every good and perfect gift comes down to us from the Father of heavenly lights. And yet there is sorrow in this world and in our lives as well. We live in a sinful world whose image has been marred, twisted, shrunken in regards to God's grace. And the same can be said of us. We know sorrow. We know sadness. We know loss. We know frustration. And we suffer because we are still in these bodies awaiting a glorious body, even like that of the Lord Jesus. We also know sickness, and each of us, like our father Adam, will taste death. How then is it possible to give thanks, knowing the effects of sin on our lives and on those of people around us? There would be no answer, no hope, no ability to give thanks if it weren't for the Lord Jesus Christ. His redemption is certain, sure, inevitable. He justifies the wicked, but then also perfects that which is incomplete. That is the business that God is in among His people. Trials, James says, are reasons to give thanks. That's a hard pill to swallow, and we must be honest and say that when struck down by something greater than we are, giving thanks is not the first thing that comes to our minds. It is later, when we have weathered the trial, that we are able to see glimmers of God's purpose behind it. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Thanks be to God who leads us in triumph in Christ." How can he say that, given the way he was treated? Because his eyes were on the prize, on Christ himself, his finished work, its powerful effectiveness in the lives of people. With his attention there, the traumas of this life meant hardly anything when compared to the weight of glory that awaited him. Thankfulness doesn't begin and end with us, it spills over. We want to share what God has done for us out of our thankfulness to him. We want to share the blessings He has bestowed upon us with others, so others also can know His favor, His righteousness, His goodness, His grace and peace. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Thanks be to God who ever leads us in triumph in Christ.
Time once again for This Week in History. November 16, 1959. The hills are alive with the sound of music. As the musical, The Sound of Music, which is loosely based on the Austrian von Trapp family singers, debuts on Broadway. November 17, 1558. Queen Elizabeth I succeeds her half-sister Mary to the throne of England. Having survived several Catholic plots against her, Elizabeth has much of Mary's pro-Catholic legislation repealed, encourages Calvinist reformers in Scotland, and establishes a permanent Protestant Church of England. November 18, 1883. American and Canadian railroads officially recognize four continental time zones in an effort to make sense of dealing with transcontinental commerce that up until now consists of thousands of local time zones across the continent. Although most folks approve of the change, the U.S. Congress won't officially recognize the change for another 35 years. And November 19, 1863, Edward Everett, one of the most famous orators of the day, delivers a two-hour address to commemorate the dedication of a cemetery for the war dead at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Following Everett, President Lincoln delivers his own modest address. That was This Week in History, events as man recorded them, as God ordained them.
That's our program for this week. Thanks for joining us. Holding All Things Together is a production of Redeemer Broadcasting, and the views expressed are those of the participants. If you'd like to contact us for any reason, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is ministry@redeemerbroadcasting.org. For Holding All Things Together, I'm Dan Elmendorf.
And I'm Cal Carter.
God willing, see you next week.